So this is David Corus. I'm going to call the meeting to order at 12:03 p.m. I will start with roll call in no particular order. Grant Westerson.
I'm here. Thank you.
Felix Reyes.
I'm here.
Thank you. Tom Gill.
I'm here.
Judy Scheifel.
Here.
Brian Thompson.
Here.
Mark Rolfe.
Here.
Tom Patton.
Here.
Don Frost.
Here.
Parker Wise.
Here.
John Johnson.
Here.
John Flores.
Here.
Dave Perillo. And Alexander Dahm, we do not expect. And Paul Hinch, we do not expect. With 12, that's quorum. And with that, we move to the next item on the agenda, which is approval of minutes of both the February 15th, 2022 regular meeting and the March 22nd, 2022 special meeting. I'll start with a motion and second, and then we can entertain discussion. Is there a motion to approve both those minutes?
I'll make that motion, David.
Moved by John. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Grant. Any comments or requested changes on either set of minutes? Okay, all those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And any abstentions? Okay, moving on to the next item, which is public comment. Andrew, please open the line, and anyone who wishes to speak at this time, please announce yourself and do so.
Sure. Members of the public, if you wish to speak, please press star 6 to unmute yourself and announce your name if you wish to speak at this time. Again, that's star 6 to unmute.
Kevin Blacker, I'd like to speak.
Yep, go right ahead, Mr. Blacker.
Okay, so as we all know, this redevelopment of State Pier was initially billed as a $93 million project, went to $157 million on cost of Diamantis's word, went to $235 million, then, you know, supposedly roughly $250. The Port Authority is going to have to go to the state and ask for more money as, you know, the taxpayer was obliged to cover all cost overruns beyond $157 million. I think that, you know, if there is any legislator on this call, you know, that there should be a stipulation, there should be string attached to that. I don't think that the Port Authority should be given the additional money. I think that the additional money, they should hold off on you know, approving it until the Attorney General investigation, until we get some sense of you know, what that is all about ongoing for 2 years, the Contracting Standards Board, whether the public-private partnership is legal. We determine what the FBI and DOJ's interest in the State Pier redevelopment are. So I think it would be prudent to wait to allocate any more money to this grossly over budget and behind schedule project. And if they do decide to allocate additional money, there should be a string attached that local business operators have access to the pier. One of the larger over the road transportation, you know, bulk transport businesses in southeastern Connecticut contacted me and wanted access to State Pier. They're scared to, you know, scared for political, you know, retaliation to come out publicly. But, you know, off of the pier wants access, the longshoremen want access, I want access, and the locals shouldn't be displaced, to serve a New Haven company, a Danish company, and Eversource. Just to give the board an update in case they're not aware, from the site, the pile driving crews down there are having quite a bit of difficulty running into an awful lot of obstructions. They're having to do a lot of dredging. They had to move around, and due to that moving around and kind of doing things piecemeal, they're now having trouble getting everything to tie together. There were two collapses, whether they're acceptable or planned, but on the historic CV pier, on the corners, which I have pictures of if anyone in the press is interested in, and I'll just again voice my opposition to the Port Authority's reckless and incompetent management of this project. Thank you very much.
Thanks for that. Any other members of the public wish to speak at this time? Any other members of the public wish to speak? Okay, moving on to the next item on the agenda, Executive Director's Update. John, pass it over to you.
Thank you, David. So having seen the New Haven Harbor Navigation Improvement Project receive its full funding under the recently passed Bipartisan Infrastructure Act, we met with the Army Corps project manager for the project, Craig Martin, to discuss the path forward for the project. We discussed the development of a project partnership agreement, the movement of the power cable out of the federal channel that is a prerequisite for the project, and the underlying maintenance project that needs to be completed. These subjects are under discussion at the Army Corps as well as with external stakeholders. With respect to Pier 7 in New London, that project is moving into its permitting stage. At today's meeting, we are seeking to extend the term of GZA's contract to cover this new phase of the project. The project remains within its current budget allocation. With respect to the Small Harbor Improvements Project Program, or SHIP, next week, on April 27th, the authority will issue a request for applications for project funding under the third round of our Small Harbor Improvement Projects Program. Under SHIP, Connecticut municipalities or in or adjacent to waters of the state may apply for matching funds to conduct a project that improves the infrastructure or management of their local waterway. Those interested in responding to the RFP will be required to schedule a mandatory pre-application consultation prior to making a submission. Applications will be due by July 1st, 2022, and the RFA will be posted to the authority's website at www.ctportauthority.com/SHIP. On March 25th, I presented on Connecticut's offshore wind plans to a UK Business Roundtable organized by the British consulates in New York and Boston. They are planning an offshore wind supply chain trade mission to New England in the near future. I wanted to give a brief procurement update. After the State Contracting Standards Board released their report on the Port Authority's past procurement practices in February, they then sent a proposed set of procurement policies and procedures meant to complement our existing ones. After a couple of meetings with the State Contracting Standards Board, we came to agreement on a version of these policies and procedures that better reflected our governance structure and staffing. The Audit, Compliance, and Governance Committee recommended that the Board approve these policies at their meeting on March 15th, and the Board approved the policies at a special meeting on March 22nd. In approving these policies in such a relatively short time, the Port Authority is showing that it is working with the State Contracting Standards Board in a manner consistent with the legislative intent that gave the State Contracting Standards Board oversight over the Port Authority's procurement and contracting policies. Policies will go into effect on May 5th following their mandatory posting to the Connecticut Law Journal for 30 days. The auditors of public accounts have begun their biennial audit of the Port Authority for the fiscal years 20 and 21. To date, we have provided nearly all the materials they have requested and look forward to working with them cooperatively for a successful audit. Just a brief state peer update. We'll get a more in-depth one a little later on in the call. Today, you will be asked to approve a fifth amendment to our contract with Kiewit. This amendment will reflect a new schedule and budget that has been agreed to because of the delays in receiving our permits for the project. We are currently negotiating a potential acceleration of that schedule to align it with the requirements of our partners in the project. In an effort to engage the expertise resident on this board, an ad hoc working group of members of this board has assembled to better understand the details of the project. They have met with the construction administrator, AECOM, and the construction manager, Kiewit, and will continue to do so throughout the end of the construction project, and will periodically report back to the board as to the project's progress. On March 24th, we hosted our state and federal partners for a very successful environmental review and permit conditions compliance presentation at State Pier. The state and federal partners included representatives from Connecticut Deep, the Army Corps of Engineers, and the EPA. Kiewit's construction manager and environmental team gave an excellent presentation on their safety and environmental monitoring of the project. The presentation was followed by a site tour. Following the site tour, one of the participants stated the construction site was one of the best that he had visited in his entire career. And then finally, with respect to my departure, I had initially informed the board that April 21st would be my last day. Since an interim executive director has now been identified, I plan to stay on through May 5th to provide some additional overlap. I would like to thank the board for its invaluable contributions of their time and attention to the mission of the Port Authority and their substantial support during my tenure, and especially for the many special meetings that were required to advance the State Pier project. And that concludes my report. Thank you.
Thank you, John. I want to just sort of state my thanks first and foremost for your willingness to give us this extra 2 weeks and afford some overlap, but just more generally for the hard work that you've put in over the last year and a half. I know that there was some aspects of this that were not expected, and some of the legacy of the past lingered in ways that constrained your ability to move the authority forward, but I think it's clear and obvious to anyone paying attention that you have nonetheless been able to move the authority forward, and we've met a lot of milestones, both operationally on the project and on other focal initiatives like the dredge in New Haven. And so on behalf of the board, I just want to state my thanks for your time here and wish you the best on whatever comes next. I have no doubt that we will remain in touch to one degree or another, but your time here has been well spent, and we appreciate it.
Will we be drafting any formal resolution or recognition of John's service that we could present to him at some point?
I think that's a great idea. Absolutely.
Thanks.
Any members of the board have any questions or comments on anything in John's report? And I would just ask you to hold off on State Pier stuff till we get to that in more depth. But on any of the other items in John's report, please jump in now if you have any questions or comments.
David, I have one comment and question. John, maybe you could tell us a little bit more about that roundtable that you had between the UK business community. Where was that held?
So it was held virtually, but the participants were, I assume many of them were back in their offices, somewhere in the consulates in New York and Boston. And as I said, they're planning a supply chain trade mission in New England in the near future. And so this was part of that becoming acquainted with the players in New England process that they're going through. the UK is probably 15 years ahead of us with respect to offshore wind, and so we have lots to learn from them. And so I'm hopeful that, you know, establishing these connections will allow us to learn from their mistakes, but also understand how to better leverage the experience they've had in their deployment of offshore wind over the last 15 years or so.
When would we meet with them again, John?
So they are currently scheduling something. You know, they followed up with me afterwards. They haven't established dates yet, but
okay.
We should hear in the near future. I did put them in contact with Andrew to make sure that the contact is maintained after I leave.
I compliment you for that. I think it's in addition to your service to us, that was a wonderful thing to do. Thank you, John, for your service.
Thank you.
Any other questions from any members of the board on anything in John's report besides State Pier? Great. Moving on to the next agenda item is committee updates. I will just briefly say this and then invite any members of the committees to chime in. We had a meeting of finance and audit and compliance and governance this morning, the outcome of which we'll be taking up as item six. And then there was a special meeting of HR committee last week. And the outcome of that meeting will come up as item seven with the announcement of an interim executive director. Any members of either of those committees have anything to add on those committee meetings beyond the outcomes that we'll be taking up momentarily?
Nothing to add, David. It's Tom Patton.
Okay, moving on then to item six, which is consideration and approval of a resolution authorizing the submission of the fiscal year 2021 fiscal financial report. I will start by reading a motion. This was favorably recommended for adoption by the board at our meeting, at our joint meeting of finance and audit compliance and governance this morning. And I will read the resolution, entertain motion second, and then we can discuss. And I will just note that coming out of committee, we did not recirculate, but there is one minor change. Let me just open the document here so I got the right page. On
page
the
five,
chart,
David.
Thank you. On the chart on page five, there was just a transfer error from Excel, and so the second firm listed in the general operations category, which shows up as just sort of a jumble of references to an Excel spreadsheet, that in the final version will read Chubb Insurance, which is who that was meant to be referencing. That was the only change to the document coming out of this morning's committee meeting. With that, resolved that the executive director be and hereby is authorized, empowered, and directed for and on behalf of the Connecticut Port Authority to submit the annual report responsive to Connecticut General Statute Section 1-123 Subsection A to the Governor and to the Auditors of Public Accounts as recommended by the Finance Committee and Audit Compliance and Governance Committee at their 19th of April 2022 joint meeting, as further described in Exhibit to Agenda Item Number 6, and to deliver any and all other reasonable and necessary documents in furtherance thereof. Is there a motion to approve?
I'll approve that. I'll make that motion, David.
Moved by John. Is there a second?
Second.
Tom Patton.
I'll second.
Second by Tom Patton. Any discussion or questions?
I'll second
on
that
this
motion,
item?
Judy Scheifel.
Judy, any questions on this item? Okay, all those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, moving on to agenda item seven. As I mentioned, we had a special meeting of the HR committee about a week ago. to meet with and discuss a candidate for interim executive director. And I'm happy to share today that the committee looked favorably on the candidate. I think we are very lucky as a board to have identified someone who is interested and has the skill set very well, if not perfectly suited, to help us through this transition period as we launch a search for our next permanent executive director. I will read a resolution, and then we have opportunity for discussion, and the candidate is here with us today and can answer any questions if members of the board who were not at committee wish to ask of him at this time. Resolved that each of the chairperson and vice chairperson be and hereby are individually authorized, empowered, and directed for and on behalf of the Connecticut Port Authority to execute and deliver an employment offer letter to Ulysses B. Hammond for the position of executive director in the form attached hereto as exhibit to agenda item number 7 and any and all other reasonable and necessary documents in furtherance thereof on such terms and provisions that each individually shall deem to be in the best interest of the authority and to take such reasonable and necessary actions as are reasonably required in furtherance thereof. Is there a motion to approve?
Well, I'll make that motion, David.
Moved by Grant. Is there a second?
Second by Parker.
I'll second, Felix.
Seconded by Felix. Any questions or discussion? And maybe while we're kind of before we take the vote, I'll just share with the public for the benefit of everyone listening in today, sort of some general parameters of the contract and a little bit about Ulysses. Mr. Hammond, raised his hand and expressed interest, and we were very happy that he did. While there was some folks kind of coming up and looking at the opportunity for the permanent position, Ulysses was particularly interested in the interim position and ready to start immediately. His experience in particular at Conn College suits him very well, having overseen human resources and finance and capital projects. It's a macrocosm of everything that the authority deals with on a smaller scale. And I think he's very well positioned to help us continue to advance the policy and procedure updates, fortify our staffing, all the while completing the project at State Pier and other capital initiatives. The contract is for a temporary executive director position with all of the same characteristics as the contract with the outgoing executive director. It is articulated on a bi-weekly pay status, but it is the equivalent of an annual salary of $200,000 commensurate with the outgoing executive director. And all other benefits and requirements of a full-time employee of the authority. Ulysses will be at will, at the pleasure of the board, and will help us get through this period while we engage in a search for a permanent executive director. Hopefully that helps the public understand sort of the stellar characteristics of Mr. Hammond and the characteristics of his contract with us, or proposed contract with us. With that, board members, any comments, any questions for Mr. Hammond, anything you'd like to raise or discuss at this time?
I guess in the first paragraph of our letter, your letter to Ulysses, the last sentence is a condition of employment. You'll be required to successfully complete a background check, including a credit check, blah, blah, blah. Is that going to slow down? Have we started that? Is that going to slow down Ulysses' time before he gets with John?
So we don't expect so. Maybe Andrew can talk a little, or John can talk a little bit about the mechanics, but we expect that we'll be in a position for Ulysses to start
tomorrow.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, that's the most important thing, is they start tomorrow.
Other questions or comments, and I appreciate many of the board members who are not members of the HR committee coming at that time so that we could front load a lot of this. But please, if anyone has other questions or comments, feel free to share at this time.
Yeah, David, this is Mark Rolf. I just wanted to pose a question if I could to Mr. Hammond. I wasn't part of the HR search, and I wasn't able to attend. And I wonder if Mr. Hammond could give us just a couple minutes on why he thinks this is a good position for him and for this board to approve him to.
I think that if my extensive probably project management and operational experience that I would bring, to this position, that probably makes me perhaps suited and really comfortable with management of the Connecticut Port Authority. Also, in my ability, I think, to continue and to keep the policies and procedures and compliance in a state of really good repair with the state. I think that kind of experience is what I will bring to the table. But it's also it's also a real interest in the mission. The mission here, basically, when it comes to making sure that our deep water ports are able to advance, if you will, the ability for our state to handle huge cargo, large cargo shipments, as well as, of course, the project with respect to offshore wind. But more importantly, that they're able to live to, in the future, be in a better position to really beef up our ability in the New England area for heavy lift equipment. So that's one of my goals. That's one of my interests. This aligns with my interests, and I feel real energized about the project. But more importantly, I also really feel energized about where the project is right now in terms of its momentum. I think what John has been able to accomplish with respect to the licensing and permitting, that is just huge, and it gives this project really the green light that it has needed for a long, long time to go forward. And I'm ready to actually, to the extent that I can make a contribution in this regard to our state, I'm ready to do that.
Thank you, Mr. Hammond.
Thank you.
Other questions or comments? Okay, with that, all those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Great. Mr. Hammond, congratulations. We very much look forward to you getting started right away, and We really really appreciate you stepping in at this time and so quickly, and I do believe strongly that your skill set is perfectly poised to help us at this moment in time.
Okay. Thank you so much. And thank you to the board as well. I look forward to your support and good counsel as we move this project forward and advancing and completing our near-term mission-critical objectives.
Great. Thanks so much, Ulysses.
Okay.
Next item on the agenda is State Pier Infrastructure Improvement Project Update. John, Marlin, I think
This is you guys.
Yeah, Marlon has volunteered to give an update. Maybe not volunteered, but he's going to give an update.
Thank you, John. And the State Care Project team looks forward to working with Mr. Hammond. Overall perspective, the project is 45% complete with $76.5 million of capital investment constructed to date. This past month, the construction team completed $11.6 million of work with similar or slightly higher values expected over the next 4 to 5 months. And as a sub-note to that, one of the items that we do try and continue to highlight for the board is within the overall CMR contract is their CMR construction allowance. If the board recalls, it stood originally at $11 million. We have used $3.5 million to date. So at this point in time, we have $7.5 million left. And a great deal of the allowance to date has been utilized at removing obstructions, both in the upland as well as in the water, and that has come about as we have continued to move through several of our pile driving exercises, which we'll talk a little bit more as we go through. On-site work continues in five key areas. They are the upland, the northeast bulkhead, which is also known as the delivery berth, the state pier, which is known as the installation berth, the central wharf, and then the south wall, or the CBRR pier. Talking about the uplands first, bridge demolition was completed during this past month. That was the previous bridge and access road, if you would, and the fill material existing in the upland has been transported for reuse within the central wharf. That central wharf infill and vibro compaction are proceeding on or ahead of schedule. Approximately 60% completed to date for the fill placement, and vibro compaction follows directly behind that. And to get an idea of the vibro compaction and the size, there's 3,500 locations where we're densifying the placed fill. We've completed 1,620, so on a 12 by 12 grid. So as you see, the infill is about 60 to 65% complete, and the vibro compaction is coming behind at 40%. So we're looking forward to a very nice, warm, dry spring as we finish up the central wharf work this summer. The compaction test results continue to be very positive, so we look forward to continuing to pick up speed. And the key is to get the central wharf complete so that then the storm water and the electrical infrastructure can start behind. Moving on to the water side up elements, the northeast bulkhead, the heavy lift platform and the combination wall, or combi wall piles, as we call them, have been driven. Rebar and concrete cap installation continues. Many of the entities that have toured the site recently have got a good feel and understanding of the size of the heavy lift platform piles at 30 inch diameter and the combi wall piles at 42 inches. Of importance, following the piles in April, we have begun installing the formwork for the north and the east return walls, and shortly we'll be commencing the formwork on the concrete beams, which will then allow the concrete pad to be placed, and it will then start to look like an actual platform, once again, to handle the heavy or overweight key offshore wind components. Moving to the south of the project, the south wall and the adjacent CBRR pier, we've driven 60 of the 78 pipe pile along that new edge. In between each of the pipe piles are the connecting or interlocking sheet pile. As noted earlier in the call, there have been a number of obstructions along that alignment. At the corner of the CVRR pier, within the basin in between the piers, and then also at the state pier. So yes, at depth, we have been removing residual or previous large boulders and or other pieces of substructure through the 100-plus year life of the CVRR and state pier. So yes, we have been dealing with those obstructions, and they are needed to be moved out of the way, such that we can drive the piles to their design capacity. And lastly, moving back to the east over to the state pier, we have completed the demolition on the western edge, which is done to accept the new infill work previously mentioned, as well as we have completed the demo for a portion of the eastern edge, which will accommodate the new heavy lift platform and enable the creation of that installation berth that we mentioned before. Again, obstruction identification removal are continuous activities on both the east and the west. The idea is the most expensive driving equipment before it comes or gets relocated to that area, you want to clear the obstructions so that you can maximize the efficiency as you move through and drive those piles. The new combi wall or tow wall, which is along the eastern edge, is scheduled to commence later this week, and it will continue throughout the summer months as we move south along the eastern edge of the state pier. And once we get past about the 300-foot mark, that's when we will then fall back and with a second rig commence driving of the 30-inch heavy lift platform for the installation berth. So again, seven different areas, all being actively worked upon with multiple crews in certain areas. That's how we need to continue to, again, put in place on a monthly basis more than $10 million per month. And hopefully even in the June, July, August timeframe, we'll be looking at trying to reach $15 million a month. So concerted effort, well-organized, but yes, issues continue to have to be addressed on a daily basis. That's it for our April report.
Thanks, Marlon. The site is impressive for folks who haven't been there. I think we've had a good opportunity for board members to get out there recently. We had press out there about a month ago. We had some of our partners and folks working on wind supply chain out there last week. And so if any board members who are not part of the sort of ad hoc working group or have not been out on a recent tour want to get out there, don't hesitate to be in touch. We can always arrange it. I would encourage folks to try and get out there sooner rather than later if you haven't, just because so much of the interesting stuff is going to be covered and ultimately below surface. And this really gives you a sense of what goes into this and, you know, what happens in the water underground to give this facility the capacity that we're investing in to give it life for the next several generations and handle a diverse range of cargo for the foreseeable future. Any questions or comments for Marlon on project update before we get into the GMP amendment? Okay, next item on the agenda is the GMP amendment. I will read a resolution, entertain a motion and second, and then we can go into discussion or questions. I will just preface it by saying this is the GMP amendment that we discussed at our last meeting. You'll recall at our last meeting, we talked about the cost associated with permit delay and the need to keep crews on site longer than was anticipated and equipment on site longer than was anticipated, and that the projected cost associated with that after negotiation was $6.8 million. That is what is before you here today, although you'll notice a discrepancy where the GMP amendment before you is only $5.8 million. The short note there is that $1 million of it is still being negotiated, and it's so intertwined with the ongoing discussions around acceleration, it didn't make sense to execute that here. So don't read the 5.8 as we somehow magically found a way to save $1 million between our last meeting and today. The cost associated with delay, the hard cost, I should say, associated with delay, because there are soft costs associated with legal and with engineering work and whatnot, but the hard costs are still at 6.8, despite the fact that today's amendment brings before you $5.8 million of that $6.8. So with that, I will read a resolution, entertain motion and second, and then Marlon can go into some greater detail, and then folks can ask any questions that they have about that.
Resolved that the Executive Director be and hereby is authorized, empowered, and directed for and on behalf of the Connecticut Port Authority, here and after referred to as the Authority, to negotiate, execute, and enter into a Fifth Amendment to that certain construction manager at risk, early work, guaranteed maximum price, here and after referred to as GMP, agreement with Kiewit Infrastructure Company in connection with construction activities at the State Pier for the services and amounts substantially described in the exhibits to agenda item number 9, and to take such reasonable and necessary actions that the Executive Director deems to be in the best interest of the Authority to execute and deliver any and all other reasonable and necessary documents in furtherance thereof. Is there a motion to approve?
Tom Patton will move that motion.
I'll second by John.
Thank you. Marlon, do you want to give some additional detail on this before we entertain questions and discussion?
At the crux of the matter is a 7.5 month time impact. We anticipated the permits would be approved in May of 21. Unfortunately, the permit process was delayed for principally, if people remember last spring and last summer, there was a series of challenges that needed to be addressed, and that that required our literally responses from April through July. And once that the processes were conducted, that then enabled the Connecticut DEEP to then issue its permit in August, and then following the Connecticut permit issuance, the Army Corps and the federal agencies then follow behind, which they did as of December and then January. So in order to address that 7.5 month delay, there was merit for our CMR contractor who was on board and continued to perform service, not only at the Northeast Bulkhead, but also in the upland. And this was to accommodate them for that 7.5 month period where they were not as effective or efficient as they should be. And of course, the key question to that is, well, why would you continue to do that? The works in the upland and the works at the Northeast Bulkhead were approved by an earlier permit, and therefore, again, if the board recalls, last spring and summer and fall, we were building the Northeast Bulkhead. That's why those piles are now driven. That's why the Northeast Bulkhead will still complete in the August-September timeframe. We were able to complete a $50 million of the overall project value as of the end of this December. And because we advanced the Northeast Bulkhead, that is why we will now ultimately be able to complete approximately 1 year from now in accordance with enabling the State Pier in the state of Connecticut to be the location for the first assembly staging port for offshore wind that we understand will commence offshore construction next summer. So the downside of being able to be that facility and to achieve that schedule was that we needed to advance as much construction as we could, and unfortunately the secondary portion of the permit took an additional 7 months that weren't anticipated at that time, and this compensates not only the CM at risk, but it also compensates the trade contractors and subcontractors who had some idle equipment or otherwise ineffective staff during those periods.
I'll just add before I open it up something we did discuss at our meeting when we talked about this number the first time at our last meeting, that, you know, by initiating the contract when we did, we locked in labor prices and material costs, in particular steel, that we are confident led to significant savings. And while we would have liked to have, held those savings, they do offset a great deal of this. Had we waited to initiate the project post-permit, we would have been compromised on timeline and compromised on price. With that, any questions or comments from members of the board to Marlon on the particulars of this this Fifth Amendment?
David, it's John. The amount that we're being asked to approve is 6.8, I think. But there may be some additional charges to that, which would include legal. Is that the only charges that will be added on that we will have?
No, so not exactly. So the exact amount that you are being asked to approve today, which is encompasses all the works in this amendment, is $5,708,502. I referenced the 6.8 to say that there are additional costs associated with delay for certain certain scopes of work that were so intertwined in the ongoing discussions around acceleration. It didn't make sense to approve them at their full values today, since we expect those to change and likely go down. And so the total hard cost associated with delay is still that 6.8, but you're only approving 5.7 of it today. And then I just noted, just to remind us all, that above the 6.8, there were legal costs and other soft costs associated with that delay. So the total cost of the delay is something around $7 million, some of which is outside of Kiewit's contract, i.e. legal, and some of which is not part of this amendment because it's part of the ongoing negotiations around acceleration. And so the value that you're being asked to approve today is the $5.7 million.
And the source of funding for the 5.7?
The escrow accounts of the project. So we are approving it now with available funds. We are still tens of millions below the available fund. And then the expectation is, per our, public discussions at our last meeting and with the governor, that some additional funding will be awarded to the authority by the summer, when we will need to execute the dredging package and the acceleration package to complete the capital stack. But we have ample funding at this time to complete this now, but we will need additional funding to offset this in order to execute the dredge contract this summer.
That's comforting. Thank you.
David, this is Mark. I have a question for Marlon.
Yeah, go right ahead.
So, Marlon, thank you for the explanation that you provided. That went mostly to entitlement. And as we all know, you have to prove entitlement before you get to damages. Could you walk us through how you validated that the amount of damages that that you negotiated are true and accurate?
Certainly. In the Amendment 5, you have a table that presents the CMR's initial proposal or initial request, which was, if I recall correctly, $9.3 or $9.4 million. The CA has on-site staff that tracks daily activities of our construction manager as well as the trade contractors, as well as the equipment that's on-site and what the equipment is used for. So two pieces of information are the most important to confirm the magnitude of the entitlement. The CMR in its contract provided us a manpower list, a certain number of staff for a certain period of time, for a designated number of months, and the rates for each of those staff. So we were able to, based on their contract, as then confirmed through their on-site team, to to agree either to, and what we used it for was in fact to reduce what their request was, to say that by contract they were all, even though they may have had five more people than they originally had in their contract, that the state peer was only responsible for those that were identified in the contract. Furthermore, the daily reports came into use when a sub or a trade contractor then articulated the number of people they had or the equipment they had on site that was idle or not utilized, and we were able to go back and review those assertions with the data that we had on our files. And as you can see from the initial proposal of 9.3, literally every item had a reduction. We were able to reduce it by $2.5 million, and that's how we got down to the 6.5. So I would suggest it was a combination of actual data plus contractual requirements, provided us the mechanism to then on a line item basis ensure that what we were recommending for approval was fair and accurate. Did that address your question?
Yes.
Other questions or comments?
In the 5.708, David, that includes the CMR fee too?
Yes. So the it's actually the total that's being approved today is $5,876,133, and the addition there is the inclusion of some material that needed to be purchased for modification of some of the piles on the northeast relieving platform and combi wall.
Yeah, that's okay. Thank you, John. I should have been a little bit more precise in my words, that the amount that you're being asked to approve today related to delay and of the 6.8 was the 5.7, and I neglected to add or remind that there is 100,000+ of materials procurement that is also in this chain, in this contract amendment, but not directly related to the delay that we've been discussing. Other questions or comments?
It's John Flores. Can you explain, or have someone explain, the difference between a line item and then the escalation clause? Isn't the line item why we're paying this amount, because of the delay? I don't understand what the escalation is for.
Marlon, you want to take that?
Yeah, I'll take that one. Again, that was at our request to make sure we had the level of detail necessary. We have a project labor agreement, and those agreements have effective dates. And what ends up happening is either through the project labor agreement or through, you know, equipment rentals that you have if you're renting something at your house. When you renew that contract, at times there are, you know, your equipment goes up or the labor goes up because there's a higher rate. So as articulated before, I think by the chairman, we understand steel, for example, is up 35% to 40% in terms of cost, and the delivery time frames are twice as long as they were just a year and a half ago. So we wanted to understand the cost based on the time of the 7-month duration. However, certain equipment or certain labor is now, we were going to complete by August of 22. We're now completing by April of 23. And moving in over that period, there are escalation where, again, rates are increasing or the equipment rates are increasing. And we wanted to keep that separate and distinct to highlight it, that there is a cost for those 7 months, and then there's a piece that's related to an escalation component. Again, I hope that separates that.
Marlon, let me ask you a question about it, which I think will maybe help make sure that I and everyone understands
what you just laid out. Basically, the base cost of the staff is the cost associated with keeping them on site for the additional time. And then the escalation is the additional cost of labor because of when it's occurring, essentially, in a new contract period or a new in a new year. And that should give us some indication of if we were contracting labor for the full project now, what or at the time of permit, what the additional costs would have been associated with escalation.
Correct. It's the incremental add-on because we're moving into another year, for example.
Right. When the work is occurring rather than how long it's taking.
Correct, yes.
John, does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Other questions or comments? Okay, hearing none, all those in favor of approving the fifth amendment to the CMR contract, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, moving on to the next item on the agenda, consideration and approval of a resolution regarding a second amendment to the construction administrator's contract for design phase and construction phase services with AECOM, dated July 9th, 2020, as amended. John, I believe you're going to give the overview of this.
Sure. So this contract amendment is required to bring the contract into alignment with the current project schedule and to include permit compliance support. It also provides for the vetting of certain value engineering items and the several GMP amendments entered into with Kiewit. The value of this amendment is approximately $1.3 million and will be included in the revised soft cost budget for the project.
And so some of this could be considered those additional soft costs associated with delay that I alluded to in our prior discussion, since some of this is the cost of CA services having to be engaged for longer than anticipated. Some of it is the cost of additional amendments that were required because we were incrementally approving work prior to permits, and then some of it is non-delay related additional scope. So with that, I will read the resolution, entertain a motion and second, and then we can have discussion. Resolved that the executive director be and hereby is authorized, empowered, and directed for and on behalf of the Connecticut Port Authority, here and after referred to as the authority, to enter into a second amendment to that certain construction administrator's contract for design phase and construction phase services agreement by and between the authority and AECOM Technical Services Incorporated in the form attached hereto as the exhibit to agenda item number 10, and to take such reasonable and necessary actions to execute and deliver any and all other reasonable and necessary documents in furtherance thereof. Is there a motion to approve?
Yeah, I'll approve that, please.
Moved by Grant. Is there a second?
Second. Tom Gill.
Second by Tom. Thank you. Any discussion or questions?
This is John Flores again. So what's the cost and how is it being funded?
Yep. John, you want to...
Yeah, so the cost is approximately $1.3 million. It's 1.29, I think, or something. And it will be included in the revised soft cost budget. We are going to have to produce a new budget that accommodates both the equitable adjustment plus the dredging, all the items put together And we will also have to amend the HDA to reflect that new schedule and budget. Oh, the other piece that's got to be included in that budget is the acceleration, which is currently under negotiation. So there will be a GMP for construction, and then a schedule of soft costs that will become part of the ultimate project budget that is currently under negotiation.
That would be finalized when the GMP is finalized, and I'll just reiterate what I said before, because it's essentially the same answer on this topic. We continue to look for savings in other soft cost categories and are having some success, and we have ample funds available to us today for both the prior and this agenda item, but we will require additional funds, as we discussed at our last meeting, in order to have the funds necessary to execute the dredge contract this summer. And so we do have adequate funds in escrow today, but we will need the additional funds to cover delay, soft costs, and acceleration. And that final number, we are approaching that final number, as I think I alluded to it last time, and it's been widely reported. But those negotiations continue, and the administration, as you all heard from the governor a couple of weeks ago, have demonstrated their commitment to fill that gap, and we will need that funding in place by this summer in order to execute the final contract amendment, which will enable us to issue the notice to proceed for the dredging, which will take place later this year. But we do have ample funding in our accounts today to enable John to execute these contracts upon and pending board approval.
So, David, I'm going to assume that the contingency fund will remain at 11 and reflect that we've spent 3.5 of it already, right?
So there's a couple different things going on, right? Because we have owner's contingency, and then we have the contingency within the CMR contract, and of that $11 million, as I've stated in the past, we've utilized about $2 million of that, and that is part of this equation. And so there are, I think you're right to bring that up, that there are also pots of funds that are based on potential anticipated expenditures, but may not be utilized in their entirety, and that goes to some of the soft cost contracts as well. I think we hope to have a final sense of this in the very near term, and that's wrapped up in these negotiations related to acceleration. I think the most important points for you all, and I don't want to minimize it or overly simplify it, but we have funding in accounts today to enable John to execute these contracts without exceeding his fund availability or the authority's fund availability, but we will need more funds this summer to cover these expenditures in order to issue a notice to proceed for dredging in the timeline that we're looking to do that.
David, it's Marlon. Just a quick one clarification earlier in the statements about the project. We have expended now 3.5 of that allowance, and that's what's leaving the 7.5, which totals the 11. So,
thank you.
Just to make sure for consistency.
Yeah. No. Thank you for that. Yeah. Did I hear another question bubbling up?
Let's vote.
Okay. All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. Moving on to the next item is consideration and approval of a resolution for a first amendment to the mitigation project escrow agreement with Webster Bank for restoration projects as requested by the State Department of Energy and Environmental Protection. John, maybe you can just give an overview on this, and then I'll read the resolution.
Sure. So you may recall, I was previously authorized to negotiate a mitigation project escrow agreement. This amendment, that's for fisheries mitigation with DEEP. This amendment is for the purpose of revising and updating the lists of fish habitat restoration projects in the agreement as requested by Connecticut DEEP. The value does not change from the $3.425 million that was previously approved, but there was some changes in the projects themselves.
Thank you, John. I will read the resolution, entertain a motion second, and then we can discuss. Resolved that the executive director be and hereby is authorized, empowered, and directed for and on behalf of the Connecticut Port Authority, here and after referred to as the authority, to negotiate, execute, and enter into a first amendment to that certain mitigation project escrow agreement with Webster Bank, North America, for the purpose of revising and updating the lists of fish habitat restoration projects in said agreement as requested by the State of Connecticut Department of Energy and Environmental Protection, substantially in the form attached here too as exhibit to agenda item number 11, and to take such reasonable and necessary actions and to execute and deliver any and all other reasonable and necessary documents in furtherance thereof. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved, David.
Moved by John. Is there a second?
Second, Randall Parker.
Second by Parker. Any questions or discussion?
Again, this is John. I just want to clarify. Did I hear there is no financial change on this amendment?
Correct.
It was just... Okay, good. Thanks.
Correct. Yep, DEEP changed some of the projects that would be recipients of our mitigation payment, but the amount of the payment does not change. Other questions or comments? Okay, all those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Great. Any opposed? Any abstentions?
Yeah, David, this is Brian. Just because it relates to DEEP, I'm going to abstain.
Yep. Thanks. Noted. Item 12 on the agenda is consideration approval of a second amendment to the consulting services agreement with GZA Geoenvironmental, and this is related to Pier 7 in New London. And I will, John or Joe, do you want to just give a brief overview of this before I read the resolution?
Joe? I'll wait for the train to go by. Okay, this is a time extension only. No impact to the existing budget on the project. GZA initially started the project back in March of 2019 when COVID came upon us. There was a sea change within GZA organization on the engineering side. And so when the new team got involved with the project, they went back and did a reevaluation of the existing structure, specifically the section loss of the existing piles, so that we can design a project as efficient and economical as we could. And it was found that a fair portion, if not all the piles on the existing structure, had a section loss that wouldn't accommodate the type of vessels we were hoping to moor at the structure. So they, for the most part, began an entire redesign of the repair work needed. So the project is broken up into two phases. One of the phases is the existing structure. The second phase is a new structure, which is installation of mooring dolphins to accommodate the mooring of longer length vessels that don't currently call on that pier. So based on the new schedule that was developed, based on the reevaluation of the structure for the infrastructure improvements, the final permits with the Army Corps won't be in hand till December of 2023. And that will then proceed to 100% design drawings by the end of March 24. So we're requesting an extension to June 30th, 2024 to accommodate this new schedule.
And Joe, you say there's no financial impact to this?
No change in the scope budget for the project right now.
Great. Thanks, Joe. I will read the resolution, entertain a motion and second, and then if anyone has any other questions or discussion, we can jump in at that time. Resolved, the executive director be and hereby is authorized, empowered, and directed for and on behalf of the Connecticut Port Authority, here and after referred to as the authority, to enter into a second amendment to that certain consulting services agreement by and between the authority and GZA Geo Environmental Incorporated, dated March 15, 2019, here and after referred to as the agreement, to extend the term of the amended agreement from March 15, 2022 to June 30, 2024. Four, in the form attached hereto as exhibit to agenda item number 12, and to take such reasonable and necessary actions to execute and deliver any and all other reasonable and necessary documents in furtherance thereof. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Moved by John, is there a second?
I'll second. Judy Scheifel.
Second by Judy. Thank you. Any other questions or discussion?
So in the long term, David, are we starting to think that we're going to be responsible for the upgrade of the Pier 7? Or is that a discussion for some time down the road?
Yeah. Joe, do you want to sort of share about sort of the history and the intent and construction funding?
Well, the intent originally was for the Port Authority to manage both the infrastructure improvements and then manage the operation of that particular pier. Whatever vessel calls would come in, fees associated to those calls, and working with DEEP. DEEP is the owner of the facility. So we were looking for a cooperation between agencies and probably a third party operator to handle the lines and so forth when the vessels come in. Now, the original thought on the infrastructure, everybody at that time was thinking it was maybe a $3 to $5 million infrastructure improvement. But upon this evaluation that was conducted, it's upwards of 10 to 15, possibly $20 million based on the minimal infrastructure that we're looking at doing here. This is not a full rebuild. This is upgrading utilities, adding the mooring dolphins, and repairing the existing piles. So it's a costly repair, and I think it'll have to be a future discussion to decide how this is going to be funded.
I thanks. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Another great reminder that in-water work is expensive, and you don't always know exactly what it's going to cost until you get in there and start doing the necessary analysis and scope of the project.
So
other questions or discussion? Okay, all those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Any opposed?
Any abstentions? Okay, next item on the agenda is old business. John, I don't know if you want to cover SHIP.
Yes, I think Joe's going to expand a little bit on what I said in my report on SHIP. Joe?
Sure thing. John covered a fair portion of it. As he had stated, April 27th, we will go open it up for public, or I should say the municipalities. Deadline for the application submittal, July 1st, but unlike the first two rounds of SHIP, this round I would like to have pre-consultation prior to submissions with any municipality that has plans on applying. I would like to have a Q&A session so that they understand what the grant is and what's required of them for the grant. And if they have any questions, I'm available to answer them. We would like to have the ratings and selections completed by July 22nd. And we would like to have a board approval and a request to the State Bond Commission for August. So that's basically it for the third round of SHIP. We're not changing anything except this is a reimbursement grant. So when work is completed and accepted by the municipality or the engineer for the municipality, we will then receive invoicing and make payments. So it's a reimbursement basis versus the way SHIP round one and two were executed.
Joe, I just have one question. I think it's great. I'm glad we're getting that out this spring and sort of gearing it up with the anticipation of having projects selected by the end of the summer so we can hopefully get it before Bond Commission this fall. I just, my only question is about sort of outreach and notification. I know this is something a lot of towns and cities are interested in. I know it's something a lot of legislators are interested in. Do we have a mailing list of all the coastal eligible communities? Do we have a mailing list of all the delegations from those communities? How are we going to maximize distribution to make sure we, reach all the folks who may be interested?
That's a good point. In the past, we have not done a mailing to the coastal communities. I've been receiving phone calls for several months now from different municipalities inquiring as to when. That's something for us we should consider, some type of outreach to make them aware. Normally, the harbor management commissions within those towns are the ones actually putting the applications forward. The Harbor Management Commissions have a better understanding of what their marine needs are for their facilities. So we probably can do a mailer, and I believe we might have done this in the past. It's been a while that we've reached out to the Connecticut Harbor Management Association to then distribute a notice to their membership. So we'll do the best we can to get the word out so we get the best results.
Well, it's just a note too for board members or for any members of the public listening in that getting this broadcast as widely as possible is much appreciated, and I think we'll work to sort of round out that mailing list. But it sounds like the Association of Harbor Commissions is a really good start. Other questions or comments on this? Any other old business? Any new business that anyone would like to propose that we take up? Okay. With that, appreciate everyone's participation, and I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Moved by John. Is there a second?
Second by Mark.
If nobody says, I'll say second.
Okay, we got a second by Mark. Thank you. Meeting is adjourned at 1:23. Appreciate everyone, and look forward to talking to you soon.
Bye. Bye.